Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Well, you have tuned in to QLJNradio.com. This is the final authority. The final authority, we air live every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We air live every Monday unless otherwise indicated. All right, so we're going to continue on in our subject matter, part three. We should be closing off today on the subject, if God is for us, who could be against us? We're going to pray, and I'll give you the number to call in case you have a question or a comment. Feel free to call in and ask your question or, you know, share your comment or express a different view, okay? We're definitely open to hear from you, all right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We keep you going. We acknowledge you as the living true God, most high, eternal God, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We humble ourselves before you, Father, acknowledging our every need of you. We thank you for the abundance of your grace that you have bestowed upon us through thy beloved Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. And Father, we ask, even as we open your word, we ask you to open our understanding, Father, grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the biblical Christ, your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Father, we ask, O God, that your word will dwell in us richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that Christ will be exalted. Christ, your beloved Son. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory. In the holy, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Yes, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call the number. The area code is 515-605-9768. The number to call for your question or comments, or maybe you want to express a different view other than the view that I'm sharing. We're open to that. Call area code 515-605-9768. Now, after you are connected, then press the number one on your phone. My producer will connect you to my line. I will welcome you to the final authority for your question or your comment. Okay? All right, so we'll do go over some of the things we went over on last week, and we'll proceed from there. So the question is, if God be for us, who could be against us? And our foundational text comes out of the book of Romans chapter 8. Verse 31, Paul writing to the believers in Rome, and he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? So if God, who is for us, who could actually overrule God? Now, we're dealing with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, known in the New Testament as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This God is the God that spoke this world into existence. We're dealing with the Almighty God who's omnipotent. His power is so vast and so great that we cannot even comprehend the greatness and all of the extent of all of his power. And he's all wise. He has never made a wrong judgment. He knows all things. There's not anything he does not know. He's everywhere at one and the same time. That's called omnipresent. And so if God is for you, who could be against you? Now, we have to go back and read the preceding verses, because in the context, Paul clearly shown in the text that in the context that God is evidently for us. God is not against you. God loves you. He is for you. And Paul clearly demonstrated that. And we'll read the preceding verses in a moment. But God being for you doesn't negate the fact that you will have issues, problems, challenges, hardships, tests, trials, disappointments, and frustrations in this life. You're going to have that. That's part of life. We look at what all the Old Testament prophets had went through. We look at what the disciples had went through. We look at what Jesus Christ, the biblical Messiah, the very unique Son of God, himself had been through. He was opposed in all the temptations he faced and all of the opposition he faced from the religious leaders. How he had people literally lie on him, accuse him of things that was definitely untrue. And yet, he was perfect. He was sinless. But he knew everything that he was going to suffer when he came from glory, conceived by the power of the Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary, to take upon human flesh. He knew everything that he was going to go through, and yet he willingly did that. Why? We'll get to that a little bit later. But let's go back, and I want to go back, and I want to read verse 26. Now, let me remind you, Paul is talking to those who have come to true, genuine, authentic faith in Christ. They trust in that message that Jesus Christ is the very unique Son of God, and that he died for their sins and shed his blood, was buried, and rose again from among the dead, that Christ satisfied the judgment of God, and that Jesus Christ right now is alive forevermore in a resurrected, glorified body, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. And so, Paul says, in fact, let me go back. I want to read verse 18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Wow, we're going to deal with that glory which shall be revealed in us momentarily. But the sufferings of this present time. And so dealing with now, when Paul was talking about this, there are some things, they suffered greatly. They suffered all kinds of adversities, opposition, persecutions, beatings, imprisonment, and they suffered a lot, all right? The body's aging, pain in the body, and so on. He said, "I reckon," the word reckon is, I take into account that the sufferings of this present time, what I'm going through right now, is just but for a moment. What I'm going through now is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so there's a promise that God had given of a coming glory. We'll deal with that momentarily, but right now, I want to talk about the suffering. We're going to suffer in this life. Jesus himself said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." So we're going to have some tribulation. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. And in many cases, for our faith in the biblical Messiah. Because, see, if you truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ and you truly are walking in the light of Jesus Christ, holding fast to your faith in the uncompromising integrity of God's word, and you refuse to bow down to the world, Jesus said, "The world will hate you. It hated me, it'll hate you." And so you're going to come under some persecution. You can come under against some attacks and accusations because you're standing firm in the faith. In fact, Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then he shall rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, that's pretty tough. So you're gonna have some opposition. You're gonna have some persecution. So you're standing firm and you're following and embracing the very unique Son of God and following his teachings, sticking fast to your faith in the Word, you're going to have some troubled times. Sometimes you're going to hurt, you have pain, all that. But notice in Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, Paul says, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. The word Spirit there in the King James Version is capitalized, and rightfully, because it refers to the person, the work, and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit indwells us, all right? So it says the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Helpeth, he joins up together with us against our weaknesses or our inabilities. That's the word infirmities there. All right? That's not referring to a malady such as the physical pain or suffering or ailment or what have you. He's talking about your inability. What kind of inability or weakness? He tells you in the following words, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times when you can't even utter things that's down in the depths of your soul. Down in your spirit, if you would, there's things when you just get before God and there's something deep down up in there and you can't even utter it, the Spirit will intercede that, interpretate that to the Father on your behalf. And there's times you can be praying and you run out of words and you don't know what else to say, but there's something more that you want to say, but you don't know what else to say. The Spirit even takes that, interprets that to the Father on your behalf. Because the next verse says, he that searches the heart know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So here Paul is given a revelation here that all things work together for good. Man, you can go through some very terrible, tough times in your life. I mean, some terrible things. If you are a genuine believer in Christ, you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You love God. You're called according to his purpose. No matter what you go through in this life, no matter how hurtful, how painful, the nature of the sufferings, did you not know that God will even get so involved behind the scenes in your life and in the situation and work that together for your good? So many things are not going to go the way you want or I want. And we may suffer some things, but you have to understand that God is so for you, he sent his Spirit to join together with you against your weaknesses to make intercession for you. And then on top of that, God is behind the scenes working all things together for your good. So when you're going through it, do you really trust the word of God? Do you hold fast to your faith in the integrity of God's word in this text here? That he is really behind the scenes working out? There's some things that I've been through and going through and don't understand. You know, I don't understand why my dad had to die. I don't understand why my younger brother had to die early. I don't understand that. My grandma. So I had a number of people in my life that I loved and was close to that passed on. My uncles, my aunties. Why? Friends. Why? Well, God works that together for our good. Now, how does he do that? I don't know. I do know that he said that's what he does. We have the word on it. So God sees things that we don't see, knows things that we don't know. And your natural mind would say, well, why would God allow that? Why would God do this? Well, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is always looking out for our higher good. So we have a certain perspective about certain things, how we feel and how we view it. But God's view is so far superior and better than yours. And in the end, when everything is all said and done, you're going to see that the wisdom of God always will be justified. But nevertheless, You may have gone through a bad divorce. You may have had a loved one that had died, a close one died. Maybe you lost a parent or lost a child, lost a cousin, a friend, an auntie, a parent, or what have you. Maybe you got in a bad accident. I don't know, but I do know that if you love God and you are the called according to his purpose, God is behind the scenes working all things. He will interwove in that to work it for your good. Okay? Now, so I have to trust God. So then it goes on and says, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? So if God is for us, who could be against us? He sent his Spirit to make intercession for us. He's behind the scenes working all things together for our good. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Not only did he predestinate us, but he foreknown us, predestinated us. He called us, that is by his grace, into his salvation. And he justified us. He declared you righteous. So God called you through the preaching of the gospel. You came to faith and trust in Christ, and he washed you from your sins, robed you in his righteousness. And the Father God said, I declare you righteous. So you have life in him with God. But then, that verse also said, whom he justified, verse 30, then he also glorified. We want to talk about this glorification, of being glorified. What does it mean to be glorified? I can see predestination. I can see being called, justified, but glorified. What is that? The Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? So just know that he just clearly demonstrated that God is for you because of all the things that he did. Foreknowing you, predestinated you, called you, and justified you, and glorified you. And then he goes on and says, in verse 32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We understand that God delivered, he did not spare his Son. He delivered up his Son so that the Son can take your place. And Jesus Christ had all of your sins placed on him, and he was judged by the judgment of Almighty God for you and I, and he thus satisfied the penalty of sin, which is death. The innocent for the guilty, the just for the unjust. That's Jesus Christ, the sinners for the sinners. So Christ became a sin offering for us so that we might be made God's righteousness in Christ. Man, what a blessing. So now we see that God is for you. He didn't spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And then he goes and says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You are God's elect in Christ. It is God that justifies. Who can bring a charge against you? Who can come in God's court of law and bring a charge resulting in condemnation? No one can do that because God justifies you. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yes, he died for all of your sins. Yea, rather, that is risen again. He rose for your justification. Who is right now present sense, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we see that God is clearly for you. Now what I want to do is look at the fact that he says, damn, he also glorified. Now, this glorification, what does it mean to be glorified? It does mean to highly praise and to give high honor to. Okay? But how are we highly praised or given honor to about the fact that we are glorified? How are we glorified? And keep in mind, this is not based upon a religion. It's not based upon an emotion. This is a spiritual manifestation, all right, in a reality that God has revealed to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul. Okay? Now, what I want to show you, I'm going to take you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to give you two perspectives, though, two perspectives. Both of the perspectives are biblically sound, but just what is Paul talking about? Is he talking about that we are glorified right now, literally, or is it a glory to come? Well, that's both of them are two. But which one do you have in mind here? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly here. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you, referring to the believers whom he had preached to, the Gentiles in Ephesus, he preached to them, and he came to faith in the gospel message that Paul preached. He's speaking to those who are already in Christ, those who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He says, and you had he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were spiritually dead, that is, alienated from God. We were literally dead men walking the earth. And you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, prior to us being made alive unto God through Jesus Christ, we were alienated from God, spiritually dead. We were dead men walking the earth. All right? We were under the power of darkness. All right? And we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. All right, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we deserve judgment because we had operated in a fleshly life that rebelled against God, and the law of God says we should be condemned. But it goes on and says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us, watch this, has made us alive, has quickened. The word quickened means to make alive. Has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what I'm going to show you here is that Jesus Christ, everything that Christ did, he was doing for us on our behalf. So Christ, he willingly laid his life down, nailed to that cross, and listen to me very carefully. From a biblical perspective, all of our sin, all of our sins was placed upon Christ. He bore all of our sins in his own body, the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, sins of all of mankind was placed upon him, and he was judged by the infinite, eternal God, the Almighty God, for our sins. Thus, he was a sin offering. The Father God was satisfied that sin was judged and condemned upon his Son. When the Father God judged his Son for our sins, he did not relent or hold back his judgment. He fully judged and condemned sin for time and eternity. So Jesus satisfied the judgment of God for you. So Christ was taken down from that rugged cross, and he was buried in a tomb. On the third day, Jesus Christ literally, physically, rose again from among the dead and has given so much overwhelming evidences of his resurrection. So after which he ascends up to heaven, he's highly exalted, glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, when you come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because Christ did what he did for you, and you get credit for what he did, you then are identified with Christ by faith, not by your performance or your works. Your performance and works is good in its place. But we're dealing with a true heart that comes to true biblical repentance from sin and faith and trust exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for you on the cross through his death for your sins, the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you, and then was buried and rose for your justification. So I rest my faith solely upon Jesus Christ, not upon me and my performance, but upon the perfect performance of Christ, who was perfectly obedient unto the Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. and wherefore God has highly exalted him. So then we deal with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So now, then with his glorification, Christ has entered into his glory. He suffered many things, and then he entered into his glory. Now, because you are identified with Christ, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, so since Christ is now glorified positionally in Christ Jesus, you hold a position of being glorified positionally. All right? So the fact that Christ entered into heaven, that heaven received Christ in your place, Christ is our forerunner. He entered in for us, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. All right? So he entered in. So the fact that heaven received him and he went in your place and everything he did was for you, the fact that heaven received him, heaven is going to receive you because it received him in your stead. What a blessing. So positionally, you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sin, I'm not dead no more, I'm alive to God now. God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. This is the work of God's grace. You can't earn this. No matter how good you might like to think you are, this is not anything you can earn. You're made alive unto God by virtue of what Christ done and your faith in Christ. In verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He raised me up with Christ, made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So I am sitting in heavenly places in Christ. So positionally, not only have I been predestined by the Father, I've been called by the Father, I've been justified by the Father, and I'm glorified. Why? Because of my identification and union with Jesus Christ. It's not because I joined the church. It's not because I am identified with any particular ministry. It's because I'm joined to Jesus Christ. I happen to be in ministry and so on. However, my main thing is the fact that I have come to repentance and faith and trust in the very unique Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for me. And by virtue of the fact that I've come to faith in Christ, I'm sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit joined me to Christ, and God identifies me with everything that his Son done for me. Wow. That's all by faith. So again, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and has raised us up together, that's together with Christ, and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. So you need to come to a true, genuine, authentic faith in Christ Jesus. And so this is how we are positionally glorified. So you've been predestined by God unto salvation. God calls you into salvation. You accepted by faith in Christ Jesus. God then declares you righteous upon the fact that Christ washed you from your sins, robed you in his righteousness. The Spirit joins you to Christ. Christ brings you before the Father. The Father God declares you righteous. And now you have been raised up together and you're made to be identified with Christ's ascension. That is, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So positionally, you are glorified and God highly honors you. God treats you as though you are as righteous as his Son. That's because you have the righteousness of Christ credited to you. Okay? You are now, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God treats you as such. So God treats you with favor. God praises and honors you in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. Now, so that is the positional glorification. Now, there is a coming day in which we'll experience glorification, we'll receive our glorified bodies, okay? Now, Let me give you one particular text of scripture. In fact, let me go to let me look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, okay? All right, let me keep reading here. I got to go on a break in just a moment. But in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about that we look for Christ's coming. That's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, he's right now in heaven in a resurrected, glorified body, and he's going to come back for his people. And in verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Wow. The body is going to be glorified. You're going to get a new body. This body ages. This body is called a mortal body, subject to death, deterioration, and aging. So each day we're aging. This is a mortal body. But one day we're going to get a body which there's going to be no more pain and sorrow and aging. No more of those pains and aches and wrinkles and grays or what have you. Because our body is going to be fashioned like into his glorious body. This is the experiential part of glorification. Okay? Now, I'm going to also take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks on the historicity of the resurrection of Christ. Stay tuned in. We will pick up right after the of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And stay tuned to Final Authority, and we'll pick back up. See you after the break. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority.
Hey, in the midst of, in the midst of. Now look, to all my church folks, what I want you to do is I want you to play this real, real loud in your car. Make them think you listening to some secular stuff.
Know you really feel like praising.
Why come, why come?
Jesus is so amazing. Responsible for great things. Jesus is so amazing.
Guess what?
Working hard, trying to get money. So much drama always around me. I'm going up, so how could you doubt me? I wanna be free. Check to check, payday to payday. Praying every day to find me a new way. Struggle gon' come, but faithful I will stay. Cause I believe. Lord, yeah.
name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus be upon you.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right. That song that you just heard was by Willie Moore Jr. called Feel Like Praising Him. Had a nice little beat to it, too. Feel Like Praising Him. Again, Willie Moore Jr. All right. So, we're going to deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read some verses out of there. And this is dealing with the glorified body. So, positionally, we showed you according to 1 Corinthians, excuse me, according to Ephesians chapter 2, that we have identified with the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. And that is a positional glorification, all right? And our foundational text was over in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? And we've shown you by reading the preceding verses that God was evidently for us. And even the preceding verses after verse 31 of Romans chapter 8, but it tells us in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that God predestinated us, called us, justified us, glorified us. So now we're dealing with being glorified. What does that mean? Okay. So here we share with you that you have a positional place in the heavenly places right now. Because Christ is there and you are spiritually united to Christ, you are positionally there. Now one day you will be there, literally one day. But right now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so Paul here is dealing with the resurrection of Christ. And he says in verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what does it advantage me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is absolutely no resurrection and no glorification of life after this physical body passes away, why would I go through what I'm going through and face all the opposition that I'm going through because of what I believe and what I'm preaching if all the stuff that I suffered in Ephesus, these wild men who act like beasts against me, what does it advantage me if there's no resurrection? So we begin to talk about the resurrection of the body. So it goes on and says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Dealing with the resurrection of the believer, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Then he goes on, let's go on down and read verse 51. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Wow. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, notice he says that this corruptible must put on incorruption. this mortal must put on immortality. See, this mortal body is sort of pain, deterioration, death, aging. It's decaying. It's going. It's dying. Every day this body is dying closer and closer to, if you will, the graveyard. But he says this mortal will go put on immortality. You're going to get a body that's not even subject to death no more. This corruptible will put on incorruption. See, there's corruption in this body because it's tainted with sin. There's sin that's in this flesh. But one day you're going to have no sin in it, no corruption in it whatsoever, and you're going to put on immortality. This is the state of glorification. This is something we look forward to one day. Now, Paul makes a statement in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to go back and read that, and that is in verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there's a coming glory that's going to be revealed in us. So this is the great hope that we have. And as I read earlier in the book of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, our vile bodies shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. All right? So positionally, we are glorified, but there's coming a day in which we're going to experience that literally. We'll be literally glorified in that state. Now, that will take place when Christ comes back. Okay? Now, I want to also read another verse in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. He deals again your identification with Christ. And he also deals with the coming of Christ. So that's in chapter 3 of Colossians, starting at verse 1. If you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Wow. See, you're risen with Christ. Remember, we read in the book of Ephesians that not only you're risen with Christ, but you also, God raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're risen. So we do with the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. Wow, I'm risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, you're dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Yes, Lord, what a blessing. This is the blessed hope that we have. Wow, what a day. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we are literally there in that glorified state. Now, what I also want to do is I want to take you over to the book of Revelation real quickly. Put me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And I think we'll read verses 1 through 5. All right, so in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, John the Apostle seeing the end of time and the consummation of all things. And he says here in Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. Wow, nothing to divide the human race. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What? This is that part of the glory that's going to be revealed in us. This is when we enter into that state of glorification, literally. This is where we have the new body. This is where we have the mortal put on immortality, the corruptible put on incorruption. All right. So here, he says, God's going to wipe away all tears from the eyes. No more death? Man. No more sorrow? Nope. No more crying? No, there's going to be no more pain, no kind of pain at all. The former things are passed away. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's a coming day that we look forward to. It's going to happen upon the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in the book of Titus, he says, the grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that glorious appearing, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Looking for that blessed hope. This is the hope that we have, the hope of literal glorification. This is the believer's hope. We look forward to this. Based upon a promise that God has given to us. Wow. So, God has foreknown you. He predestinated you. He called you. He justified you. And he glorified you. So being one, we already know the fact that you're positionally glorified in Christ. But there's a coming day of literal glorification. Now, let me back up and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quickly here. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perish. Now, Paul uses the outward man and the term inward man. The outward man refers to the outward exterior of your human anatomy, in other words, your physical body. The inward man refers to the real you, the spirit you, all right? So you live on the inside of a body, all right? The body is not you. It's part of you, but it's the physical part of you. But the real you live inside of that body. So it said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Or the outward man perish. Why? It's mortal. It's corruptible. That's the part that is perishing. But the inward man, the man that's been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that man is renewed day by day. That man has eternal life. So then he goes on and says in verse 14, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Wow. Our light affliction, which is but for, so what we're going through right now is just but for a moment, our light affliction. We're afflicted with a corruptible body. It's a mortal body. We have to go through pain and suffering and crying and tears right now. Paul says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, each day that passes by, and each day that we are close to the grave, on the other end, we're getting closer to our glorified body. Where we experience physical glorification, we get a new body. The mortal put on immortality, the corruptible put on incorruption. The vile body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow. Look at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, dealing with again the mortality of the physical body, because of the earthly house of the tabernacle which you live in, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, dealing with another body, a glorious body. For in this we groan. In this body we have now, we groan. Earnestly designed to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Why? With the house from heaven, no more pain, no more sorrow. It's immortal. It's incorruptible. That's what we look for. But right now, the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, going back to Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who could be against us? Man, God has demonstrated very clearly through the authority and integrity of his word, the Holy Scriptures that we have. We need to study this and hold fast to what God has revealed to us in his word. For the word is God's authoritative command for us, the believers in Christ Jesus. I hold to this. It's the words of life. His words is alive and powerful. So you have to hold on to the word of God. No matter what you feel or how you feel, do you truly believe God? I hold my faith steadfast in what he has revealed in his word. And so we know that God has fallen on us because I got the word on it. God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Christ. God called us. He called us with a holy calling. Man, he called us into his salvation. And you heard the message of the gospel, and that was the voice of God through that gospel being preached, calling you to faith in Christ Jesus. Because God wants to have a relationship with you. And you must come to faith and trust in his beloved son, Jesus Christ. And then when you come to faith and trust in Christ, well, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm justified by God, in God's presence, not because of my works, my performance, or my deeds, or because I go to a particular church. It's because I've come to faith and trust that Christ was the one that died for me. He rose. In fact, going back to the verse before, chapter 5, verse 1, that's Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the last verse of chapter 4, says that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith. Faith in what? That Christ was delivered for my offenses in my place, that Christ rose again for my justification, that I rest my faith solely upon the fact that he died for me and was buried and rose again the third day for me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through myself. It's not through anyone in your local church. It's not your local church. If you have one, your mosque, your temple, or your synagogue, or your good works, you better come to true, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I can't boast about why I'm saved. I can only boast about what Christ has done. I can't boast about anything that I have done because anything I do can't bring about my salvation. It is what Christ has done, and I see that clearly of my desperate need of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, as my personal Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. So I rest my faith. So when you come to faith in Christ, it is God that justifies you. And justification is the sovereign judicial act of God whereby he, God, upon your placing faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and upon faith in Christ, Christ washed you from your sins, robed you in his righteousness, the Spirit joins you to Christ, Christ brings you into God's court of law, and the Father God says, I declare you righteous. And now I raise you up and make you sit together in heavenly places in my son, Christ Jesus. So you're glorified positionally. So that's your identification with Christ. So God foreknown you, he predestinated you, he called you, he justified you, he glorified you. It's a done deal. I'm set for heaven. I'm ready for heaven because I'm joined to Christ. I'm not trying to make myself ready for heaven. I'm Christ, the one that made it ready for me. And I'm joined to him. So because I joined to him, I have him. He is my salvation. He is my redemption. He is my life. He is my whole salvation. I'm saved because of him. Man, I'm justified because of him. I'm glorified because of him. I'm identified with him. I'm not glorified by God because I joined a local church or I got baptized or I said some Hail Mary. I come to faith and trust in Christ. Understand? Going to church is good. Being baptized is good. Fine. You ought to be. But the primary first thing is a true, genuine, authentic faith that's rested solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Is your faith in the biblical Messiah? You've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith must be vested for him. Apart from Christ, there is no justification. There is no glorification. There's no way you can sit in heaven places in Christ Jesus if you have faith in Christ. There's no way that you are alive unto God. You will be dead unto God, as it were, apart from trusting Jesus Christ. Let me mention real quickly. If, in fact, you have a desire, and you can, and you want to give a donation toward the expense of the final authority, the radio show here, the internet podcast, what you do is just go to www.qljnradio.com. www.qljnradio.com. And then once you go there, scroll down to donations and make sure whatever donation you give, just earmark that this donation is for the final authority, okay? And it will only go toward the bills only. Not for me personally at all. I don't take no type of gifts given to me through the radio, you know, but I want you to earmark it for the final authority if that's what you choose to do, okay? All right, so only have a couple of minutes left, so keep in mind, God is for you. He sent his spirit to help you, and according to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the spirit maketh intercession for you, or verse 27, verse 28, God works all things together for your good because you love him and you are the cause according to his purpose. All right? In the following verse, we see very clearly that God has foreknown you. We see that he predestinated you. We see that he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. And we see also that he called you. It was God calling you. And God calls you through the voice of his people who preach him the gospel. Now, if you choose to use another means, he can do that. But the primary thing is that you got a result of having faith in Christ. It's faith in the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Christ. So he called you, and he justified you. So if God justified you, you're justified. Nobody can condemn you. And then he glorified you. It's a done deal. Man, I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have a place that's guaranteed in heaven already. So I rest my faith upon the historical fact, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he loved me and demonstrated his love by dying for my sins, shedding all his blood for the forgiveness of my sins and to redeem me to his Father, was buried and rose again from among the dead. And after he rose from the dead, he gave so much infallible evidences of his resurrection that it was known throughout Jerusalem and spread abroad that this is the Messiah. He has risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He ascended back up into the heavens from which he originally came. And he's alive forevermore, and he's now our advocate, our great high priest, and he ever lives to make intercession for us right now. And that's what Christ is doing, who appear in the presence of God for us, who is even at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Wow. Who ordained and inaugurated Christ to sit at the right hand of the Father? The Father. Who inaugurated him to be your high priest and to make intercession for you? The Father. That shows the Father's for you. So, hold your head up, look to Christ. No matter what you go through, or how you feel, or how difficult things may get, you want to always maintain consistent faith in God. Your faith will come under a fire, you will be tested, you will be tried. But I'm going to encourage you, like Paul encouraged the believers in Corinth, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And remember, God's word is God's final authority for you. See you next week. God bless.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still, the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.